With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
We're going to begin the message this morning. This is the anchor of the soul. And the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 19, this is the hope that we have as an anchor of the soul. Be sure and steadfast, and which enters into the presence behind the veil. And in that veil, behind the veil, is the Holy of Holies, is what this particular Scripture is talking about. And here we are on the earth, right? And we're heaven bound, yet we're trying to produce the kingdom of God in us and through us as Christ is formed in us. That means that we begin to understand who we are in Christ, what Jesus has done for us, and who He has made us. Can everybody say amen? And so, you know, that perception of who you are in Christ, it comes from your knowledge of the Word. It comes from your knowledge of God. And that puts something inside of your soul, which I would say is an image of who you are. You know, when you look at your face in the mirror, you know, God knows when I look at my face in the mirror at 5 o'clock in the morning, I hope that's not the image everybody else sees. You know what I mean? So I've got to tell myself, there is the righteousness of God in Christ. There is a Son of God. There's a co-heir, joint heir with Jesus. I'm a son of God. Amen. I am the righteousness of God. I am one who brings the kingdom of God into this earth through prayer. All these things are vital, and I have to remind myself of that to fortify the image. But even though my soul may drift, anybody's ever done that? Anybody ever told yourself that you're no good? Has anybody ever told yourself that you'll never accomplish the things that you set out to do? Has anybody ever told you that, and then it repeated in your head like a bad recorder? You know those old, we were watching the Goldbergs the other night. I love the Goldbergs. It's a funny show. Praise the Lord. And in that show, they had a tape recorder. Remember those answering machines with the tapes? And you get bad one. I don't know if you've ever done this, but if you get a bad message, you play it over and over and over again, and it just gets worse every time you hear it. That's what it can be when you start to loop something that Satan has told you in your mind. Satan can't speak to your spirit. He can only speak to you. He can only speak here, up in this area. He can't even read your mind, but he can speak to you, and he can tell you things that aren't true, like he told Adam and Eve, you're naked. They weren't naked, they were just in sin. They didn't understand what wasn't covering them anymore was the glory of God. And he told them it was shameful to be naked without clothes. It was shameful to be naked without the presence of God. And sometimes Satan will tell you things about your past, or maybe things that people have spoken over you that absolutely are not true or not in God's will. And you've got to flush those things out with the Word of God and with intimacy with God and becoming a part of the church with people who see the good in you and not the bad. Can you say amen? Any fool could look at somebody, I said that, into the blessing, somebody, and tell you where you're weak, tell you where you're wrong, and tell you where, you know, according to the world standards, you don't measure up. But it takes faith, which is a spiritual, it's a spiritual ability, to look into the eyes of somebody else and find the good in them and draw it out. Well, that comes, faith comes by knowing the will of God. Faith comes by knowing the Word of God. Faith comes by knowing God's will for your life. And when you know that, now that image, that creates an anchor to your place in eternity. Can you say amen? My dad used to like to fish, and he liked to river fish. And so I remember we got a boat when I was a kid, and it was just a 10, 14-foot boat, you know, and he had a little Elgin engine behind it that ran half the time. In fact, I still have that engine. And I remember we were fishing in lakes, and it was good. But when we go fishing in a river, he would find the spot. Everybody say the spot. You know the spot where the fish are biting. the spot where you don't have to struggle real hard. And he'd find that spot, and we'd catch one or two fish. And he had a little, it was a bell anchor, if you're familiar with that. It's kind of rounded on the bottom. And he'd throw that out. And the pond, that worked just fine. But in the river where there was a current that pulled you, it didn't work very good. Scott and I did some fishing in the river one time, and same thing. If you put one anchor down and it's that rounded bottom kind of thing, guess what? You're going to go eventually. You may be slower, but you're going to flow in the course of that current. And so anchors in the big ships, they've got hooks, and they've got sometimes trebles and quadruples, and they get down there and they hook into the bottom. But still, one is not enough. Sometimes when there's a storm, you could just drop the anchor to slow yourself down. But if you're going to be living above the current of this world, you need to be anchored with more than one in one spot. Are you hearing me? See, the hope of our salvation is an anchor, and it keeps your soul right. But sometimes if you're not doing some things right, or you're not connecting to God in the way that He asks us to, we can drift. And if you're in a river and you drift, how many of you have ever been in a river that's completely straight? Well, I haven't, because rivers have curves and they have bends. And so what happens if you can't control the boat and the drift begins to take you? You're going to end up in the rocks, aren't you? You're going to end up on the shore. You're going to end up shipwrecked. And so we're going to talk about the four anchors that ties us to the blessings of God. Everybody wants the blessings of God in their life. I do. I want the wisdom of God to operate in my life. I want the favor of God to go before me. I want the healing of God to keep my body strong. Come on. I want the blessing of God to keep my pocketbooks full and to keep the devourer away from me. I want the blessing of God so that when people see me, they just don't see Kenny Linhart, but they see a son of God with the favor of God in his life. Well, listen, that just doesn't happen by believing it. There are some things that you have to do, because if you believe God's word regarding the blessing, then you have to believe the whole word. Can you say amen? So we're going to talk today about anchoring our lives. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. This is anchor number one. We've got to be in the word of God on a daily basis. Guys, think of it just like Jesus said. You need more than bread. And I don't know about you, but I cannot live on bread. I've got to have some meat. I've got to have some cheese, right? I've got to have some tasty stuff. Maybe ice cream every now and then. But I cannot live on bread alone. And God didn't make your body to live on bread alone. And when He's talking about the Word, He says, just don't take the light and fluffy stuff. Go, just don't take the stuff you like. You've got to take it all in. And some of this stuff is tough to understand in the world's way. And it's called meat. Amen. You can't live on bread alone. But Jesus said that He lived by every word that came out of the Father's mouth. Man does not live on bread. He also lives on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That's a better translation, isn't it? Because the Word of God is not just active and sharp, but the Word of God is sustenance for our spirit. Just like food is sustenance for our body, the Word of God is sustenance for our spirit. And you may not understand this, but your spirit does not depend upon your flesh. Your flesh depends upon your spirit. Let me say that again. Your spirit is not dependent upon your flesh, but your flesh is dependent upon your spirit. Because listen, your flesh is going to die the minute your spirit leaves the body. As a matter of fact, as soon as your spirit leaves your body, guess what happens? Your body begins to get cold. It's no longer warm. It no longer has any strength. It can't even hold itself together, because in 3 days it's going to start to come apart. And from dust it came, and from dust it will return. Without the spirit, your body ain't nothing. So it's just like a suit of clothes. But the thing is, we feed our flesh daily, sometimes two times, sometimes three times, sometimes some of us feed it five or six times. But listen, you feed our flesh like a religion, but we feed our spirit sometimes, guys, only on Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And if you're doing that, then see, you don't understand. Your spirit needs to be strengthened. Your spirit needs food. You could, if you burn, if you light a fire and you're roasting hot dogs and marshmallows over it, or you're melting cheese over it and putting it in between crackers, that's a good thing. I'm gonna try that. If you're roasting stuff over fire, but you don't put more fuel in the fire, what happens to the fire? The fire dies, it goes out. What happens to your spiritual fire if you don't feed it? Come on, what happens? The Bible says that a man's spirit sustains him in a time of sickness. Don't you understand that if your spirit is strong, you'll get well quicker? If your spirit is strong, your head will be clear. If your spirit is strong, you'll know the right thing to do. And your spirit cannot be strong without the sustenance, without the nutrients that it needs, which is the Word of God. The Word of God, first and foremost, is the written Word. The Bible. Everybody say the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Listen, whether it's in, you're reading it off of your iWatch, you're reading it off your iPhone, you're reading it off of whatever the, hey, just don't read it off of Galaxy 7 because you'll get a little more fire than what you want. Amen. Listen, the Word of God is, it's something that doesn't change. But there's also a word to you from the Spirit. And please don't live on a word from the Spirit if you're not spending time in the Word of God, because you may get off track. You may become, fruity, nutty, and flaky like a granola bar or California. One of the two. You will become that way. You've got to have the written Word in your heart. And here's why. The Bible says that we're to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly divideth the Word of God. That means rightly handles the Word of God. You're not using a scripture that's given to curse the Philistines against your neighbor, for example. That would not be rightly handling the Word of God. Because you're not using the scripture to curse somebody. You're not calling down blessings upon yourself when you don't qualify for the blessings. Are you hearing me? You're not taking the idea that we are all equal in value in Christ and then equating that to we all have the same position in the body. That is not handling the Word of God properly. And if you don't handle the Word of God properly, you can cut yourself. Because the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12 says, is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing between the soul and the spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. Now here, guys, the thoughts and the attitude of the heart, it's like a mixing place where the thoughts of your day, thoughts of your mind, of your soul, they get deposited. But revelation rises up in your spirit. God speaks to you from your spirit. And in this mixing place of your heart, you've got to divide what is God and what's not God. That's how you, how many of you want to hear the voice of God? Can I see your hands, please? Yes, amen, I do too. But listen, if you're not spending time in the Word, you're not going to hear the voice of God accurately as God has designed it to come to you. Because you won't know what is your soul and what's coming out of your spirit. You'll think the two are the same. And so you'll hear yourself talk to yourself, and sometimes you'll call that God. And when you hear yourself talk to yourself with inspiration, you won't know whether that's God or not. And for me to walk where I do not know where to walk or how to walk, I need to know the voice of God. And God's Word is, God's Word is Him. Listen, let me put it this way. God wrapped himself in the print and the page so you could find him, so you can know him. He wrapped himself in Greek, he wrapped himself in Hebrew, and he wrapped himself in the English translations so you can know him. So when he speaks to you about things that are not in his written word, you'll be able to decipher, that's my own selfish head, or that is God. Because Satan masquerades as an angel of light, doesn't he? He comes to deceive. He comes to lead you into places that God didn't design. And listen, you step out in there, you're going to be in trouble quick. But if I know that I know that I know that it's God, I'm going to step on out. Amen? And I know he's going to meet me every single place. 2 Timothy 3:16, talking about this first anchor that ties us to the blessings of God, is all scripture is, what does it say? God breathed. and is useful for teaching, rebuking, training, and righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't know why I'm saying this, but listen. If I were passed out, and I were laying on the floor right here, and my heart wasn't pumping like it should, and I wasn't breathing, I would rather have the lips of God breathe into me than picture this. Some really pimply-faced teenager whose teeth are green because he doesn't brush them come up and try and save me. Well, isn't there a contradiction there? Come on. The breath of God is not only going to be life to me, but it's also going to be pleasing. If I had a choice and I were passed out there and somebody just had anchovies and garlic in their pizza sauce and somebody just had a mint, I'd rather have the person with the mint breathe. Come on. And if truth were be told, I'd rather it be a really pretty woman like my wife breathing into me. Can you say amen? I don't want some guy doing it, because if I wake up and I say, "Whoo, man, put that tongue back where it belongs." I don't like this stuff. Amen? I want the breath of God, the nature of God, the life of God, and all Scripture is God breathed. It will resuscitate you. And not in some way you're going to get away from me. It's like, wow, I want more of that. Can you say amen? Every single word in your Bible is God breathed. That means it comes out of the innermost part of who He is. I don't know about you, but when somebody... There's some close talkers in the church, and we're not going to tell you who they are. But when Pastor Josh gets up to you and he starts talking to you, especially after he has lunch, you're like, "Dude, back off. That's a little too close. If I can feel the moisture of your breath, that's a little too intimate." Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, let's say it's Pastor Josh. Let's say it's somebody else. But when they get close enough that you can feel the temperature and the moisture of their breath, it's like, "No, that's the only place my wife belongs. Get back up, dude," okay? But with God, you not only sense His presence and His life, but the very, very power that created the universe gets close enough and it's intimate. And the only thing that is intimate as God and you is you and your wife, or your wife and you. Can you say amen? That's the only way that it can be explained. See, the Word of God is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. I fear that most of the church in Des Moines is walking in darkness. They're walking in darkness because, why? They're not in the Word. And they're stepping on glass with bare feet. They're stepping on pieces of metal with their bare feet. They're walking across barbed wire because they can't see the path that God has laid out for them. But the Word of God in your heart becomes a light so you can see where you're supposed to walk. Not just right now, but tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Listen, when we spend time praying and reading God's Word and living in the Spirit or out of the Spirit, our thinking begins to change. Now that's the secret. That's the key into being in the Word of God. If you're going to think the way that you thought yesterday, then you're going to get the same results you got yesterday. If you're going to think the same way you did 10 years ago, then your life is going to be exactly what you have right now. But now you get into the Word of God and you come to hear the Word of God so that it will begin to change the way you think. And then the revelation of God rises up inside of you and your mind is in agreement because you've been changing, transforming the way that you think. And out comes the will of God in prayer, in daily conversation. And you know what will happen? You'll have the will of God in your life. And the will of God for you is good. Amen. So the first connector, the first anchor, everybody say anchor. All right, go to the next slide, please. What? The first anchor is the Word of God. Come on, let's say it again. The first anchor is the will of God. That will connect you so that you don't drift. And guys, it's daily. The anchor is the Word of God. It's fundamental. God's Word tells you what direction to go. God's word leads you into provision and protection. Come on. God's word heals. God's word is life to your body. Why? Because it strengthens your spirit. It gives you strength and charges you up. God's word is fundamental. When we depart from God's word, guess what we do? We make God's will whatever we want to eventually. When we depart from God's word, we will make God's will whatever we want it to be eventually. Because we'll drift. Everybody say drift. And please say, I don't want to drift, so I'm going to be in the word. Now for me, that's 5 to 6 chapters a day. I have to get 5 to 6 chapters a day in. If I don't get 5 to 6 chapters in a day, I feel like I haven't eaten my spiritual cheese. Come on. I feel like I haven't eaten my spiritual meat. Have you ever tried to go 3 days on vegetables? I don't know. I get lightheaded. I get weird. I get funny. I just don't feel right. And nothing's on the inside of me. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Come on. Nothing on the inside of me. I'm like, shoot. I eat that and it's gone. And that's not good. I need some cheese. I need some meat. I need some substance inside of me. I need it every day. I need it 3 times a day at least. Okay? Now, this is anchor number 2. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. This is Hebrews chapter 10, I believe, verse 25. But let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Let us not give up meeting together. Let us not give up coming to church. How many of you have been in church most of your life? Can I see your hands? Come on now. Now put your hands down, because this one you're going to answer without raising your hands. How many of you got cold in the Lord, fell back, ran back, backslid? You're doing things you knew you shouldn't do. And if you look at those times, you will find that you distance yourself from the church. Every single one of us. Because when we've fallen and when we struggle, we need the church, but there's something that Satan has lied to us and tells you to run from the church. Most people's offenses that take place with the church have nothing to do with the church, but something to do with their life that causes them to run from God. And you can't run from God since He's everywhere all the time. In Him we move and we live and have our being. But you can stay away from the corporate presence of God in the church. Come on. If you know what I'm talking about the person next to you, say amen. Praise the Lord. All right, now I'm going to read this to you. He says, "Phooey on them, I can do it just as well on my own." Now, I've done this before, twice in my life. I came out away from the flock, and what was right behind the rock there? That's a wolf. Guys, there is protection in the flock. Not just numerically, but true. It is true numerically, because I used to take care of sheep when I was a teenager on a farm. And they're dumb, but at least they know they'll stay together. And when they stay together, they're all right. But the wolf will come in and always attack the one on the stray. Have you ever seen a National Geographic wildlife special? And you see this great big thing of wildebeest, a great big herd. What do the lions do? They try to get one split off. They try to get one to take off. And if they get one to take off, then what do they do? Even though the wildebeest is bigger, even hyenas will do this. If they'll get up and they'll start working on them. And they'll eat on them and eat on them, bite on them and bite on them until that thing lays down. And then once it lays down, they're dead. Now this is kind of looks funny, but I want you to see the truth and reality of it. This is the reality of what happens. And as a pastor, I've seen it too much. And somebody gets offended, they leave the church and they die spiritually. And some of them die physically. And they leave the very thing that they need. When they get out there on their own, they're attacked. And sometimes they don't even know it. When I deer hunt, which I'm doing again this year, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. We do this thing, it's called rattling. Is there anybody ever heard of rattling before? Anybody? Raise your hand if you had. Yep, yep. So what you do is you take two antlers or something that sounds like two antlers, and you bang them together. Bam, 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 bam. Matter of fact, I got one of the nicest bucks that's on my wall up there. I saw this great big buck. He was going alongside this ridge about, 300 yards from me. And he was going away from me. Boy, and I grabbed that rattling bag and rattle to make it sound like two bucks were fighting. And you know what he did? He popped his head up. I watched him. And he just came all the way down around the ridge right to the place he heard the rattle. You want to know why? Because they're drawn to conflict. Especially when they have their own selfish desires. Come on now. They have their own selfish desires because at that time, their hormones are really kicking in and they think they may be fighting over a doe. They haven't even seen the doe. She may be ugly as a mud fence in a rainstorm, but they're going after her. And they say, if there's a rattling going on, there's a fight. That means there's girls. Woo! And they go down there and they get themselves, Pastor Kenny got me. And that's exactly what happens. But you know what else is drawn to a conflict when you rattle bucks? Coyotes. Whenever coyotes hear two bucks fighting, that rattling sound, that there's a fight going on, then the coyotes, which are much, much smaller, and sometimes it can only be one, maybe two, they'll come up in the midst of it. These bucks are so aggressive fighting each other, so aggressive fighting over a doe, so aggressive over fighting over territory, they don't even notice that the predator has come up behind. That's why we do well in hunting season. The predator has come up behind him, and he'll hamstring them. He doesn't give them the death blow, but he bites their hamstrings so they go down. The battle's over. One buck will leave victorious, and the other buck will be a meal. That's what happens when Christians fight Christians. Come on, everybody hears it in the timber of life. Everybody hears it. And those who are drawn to their own selfish desires, they want to be a part of that fight. They want to jump in. They don't realize that it could cost them their very life. Amen? It is fundamental that we spend time in the church. It's fundamental that we don't fight. Now, here's the thing. Some people say, well, I have a very busy life. But here's a question for you. If church were your job, would you still be employed? That's a good question. Because really, most people don't really like their jobs. And that's a shame, because if they were in the church, they'd find out what they're destined to be. And then they would enjoy working and trading hours for dollars, labor for salary. Come on. But listen, if you have a better attendance record at your work than you do your job, then money is more important to you than spiritual food. If you're one of those people like I was, I never called in sick. I never called in sick. Never. I'd rather cash those days out if I could. But there were jobs I didn't have the ability to cash them out, and I didn't care. It just wasn't in me. I felt like if I were to call in sick when I wasn't sick, it would be a lie. And that's not good. Let me ask you again. If church and your attendance, if it were your job, would you still be employed? It really has to do with what's important to you. And you can't change what's important to you until you change your priorities. And if your priority is first God, second your spouse, third your children, then you're going to be in church. And you're going to make sure they are in church with you. Can you say amen? Now, here's the deal. Some people say, I'm not good enough. I messed up. I can't go back to church. They all know what I did. Well, yes, but a church is a hospital for sinners. It's not a museum for saints. That's why I'll let you know my weaknesses, because if you can see God working in me with all of my flesh and all of my weaknesses and all the areas that I'm in a path toward being perfected, I'm certainly not there, and neither are you. So that's okay. Let's do this thing together. So don't let that become an excuse, because all of us will fall. All of us will fail. All of us will sin. But we have one who's greater than us, and he won't condemn us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Then we can come boldly into the church. But listen, when I was a little kid and I'd fall down, or my brothers and sisters would get the best of me when I was little, I would go crying to my mom because I wanted to be comforted. Can you say amen? When you fall down, don't run from God, run to God. And sometimes, all the time, you got to have some God with some flesh on. That's the church. And the church says, it's okay. Come on, we'll take it. We'll take care of this thing together. Let's go to the altar. Let's get this thing out of your life. We're not going to condemn you. Come on. Everybody messes up. But we're going to help you and bring you to that place of peace and comfort in Christ. Can you say amen? So when you fall down, church, don't run from the one who can comfort. Run to the one who can comfort. And Jesus' body is the church. And here's the most important reason. Because this happens every single day. How many of you have an iPhone or a phone like that? Every single day you start out like that and you end up like that. Every single day. And the more you use it, the more you are. So, and it's true with our spiritual life. In our spiritual life, we get charged up at church. We get charged up on Wednesday morning. But listen, this is what happens every single day. The big charge, Sunday morning, Wednesday night. Every time the doors are open, there is a charge that comes from the anointed word. There is a charge from God that doesn't tell us we have to go do something. It gives us the ability to do it. If you're out there trying to live a victorious Christian life without being part of a church, you're running on half batteries and you're not going to make it throughout the day. Come on. Keep calm and stay plugged in. Plugged into the local church, guys. See, God created the church. It was Jesus who set apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists in the body to prepare you guys to do the works of the service. You need that charge. Stay plugged in. How do you stay plugged in? You become an active member of the church. You're doing things in the church. You've got an area of responsibility. You're volunteering. Listen, do you have enough time? Well, yeah, you do. Because God's the one that called you to do it. Go to the next slide. We're going to go. Anchor number two is stay plugged into the church. Anchor number one. What was anchor number one? Read the word every day. Anchor number two, stay plugged into the church. When the doors are open, be there. Anchor number three, to keep you from drifting in life away from the will of God, it is to pray. Rejoice always. Pray continuously. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. What is God's will? That you rejoice and you pray continually. All the time. All the time you're praying. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, somebody said, well, do you pray hours a day? He said, No, I don't ever pray hardly longer than 15 minutes, but I don't usually go longer than 15 minutes without praying. And that's true for me. I am constantly conversing with God. I am constantly checking my path with God. I am constantly, let's say, being God inside minded. I am constantly seeking His will. I am constantly seeking His way. I'm constantly seeking. And when He says do, once I know it's Him, then I'll declare it in faith by prayer. But if I just do and I think it's God's will, I'm not going to have much faith there, am I? Pray all the time. Commune with God all the time. The old saints used to say, hey, brother, are you still hanging on? Oh, what do you mean hanging on to the presence of God, not letting go? That's praying continuously, all times, in all manner of prayer. Anchor number three is prayer. This is what we call Paul's Beatitudes. To be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. Listen, these two are prayer. And you cannot be joyful unless you're praying and giving thanks. Let me say that again. You can't be full of joy unless you're praying and giving thanks all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You sound like a broken record. Yes, I hope so. Can you turn to the next page, please? Okay, I want you to read this before I say it. If you don't have time to pray and read Scripture, then you are busier than God ever intended you to be. come on now. It's true. Now listen, if you can't get in and put your eyes on the page, it's not God's best, but put a CD in or something. Or listen to the scripture on the way to work. Do something. It's best if you put your eyes on the page, because then you're giving your whole body, your eyes. Okay, you got to be looking so your body's in check, right? Your mind has to be there so you could read and your spirit is attentive. Then you got all parts of you focusing in on God's word, which is his will, and he's going to strengthen you in your spirit. If you don't have time to do that, you're, I want to say you're lying, but to us, we're not. The truth is our priorities are all out of whack. If that's the way you are, then you are much busier than God ever intended you to be. So something's got to give. Maybe it's watching Flash and Arrow and Supergirl. Maybe you got to let them go. Maybe it's not watching the History Channel. Maybe you've got to cut out the news. That might do you better good than you think. Come on. If you're too busy, something's got to give, and it's not going to be your wife, and it's not going to be your children, and it's not going to be church. Praise the Lord. Somebody says, well, I have to work two jobs. Why? Because if you work, everybody smile, if you're working two jobs, then you probably are living a bigger life than you're financially able to. You say amen? Come on. Well, yeah, but my employer doesn't pay me what I'm worth. Well, you know what? That's not up to your employer. Go get another job. And if you don't have the skills to get paid more, then add to yourself. Increase to yourself. Increase yourself. Learn something. Learn a new trade. Do so. God will show you. But how? If you're working two jobs, you're not going to be praying. You're not going to be reading. How are you going to know what God's going to show you? You're stuck. You're like a snake eating its own tail. So back up. Let's do what God told us to do. He told us to be in the Word of God. He told us to pray continually. He told us not to give up the fellowship and to be in church. Can you say amen? I'm not trying to put a weight on you. I'm trying to set you free. This is the fourth anchor. Everybody say fourth anchor. So we've got read the word, we've got pray, read the word and pray every day, get plugged into your church every time the doors are open. This is the fourth one, and it has to do with tithes and offerings. Oh, now half the church just got up mentally. No, guys. This is where the rubber meets the road in your life. This is where the things of your life that you care about, where you find out, because where your money is, guess what else is there? Your heart. And out of your heart comes all the issues of life. You want to find out if you really love God? Let's look at your checkbook. Let's look at your balance sheet. Let's look at your contribution statement at the end of the year. You'll find out if you love God. Because if you love him, you'll do what he says, right? Now here, we say in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first fruits of the produce. So your barns will be, look at this barn, so your barns will be filled. Come on, silos filled. And your vats will overflow with new wine. Oh, like Pastor Josh was saying, he broke the bread. He has less here. But how can that satisfy the need when the whole thing couldn't satisfy the need? Well, that's the way God does things. If you live a life of faith, then you'll be a tither. The Bible says, return the tithe to the Lord. The Bible says, Malachi chapter, return the tithe to the Lord. Everybody say return. What does that mean? Well, the Bible says that the tithe, everybody say the tithe, belongs to the Lord. Now, I know this is strange. You think that you're living out of your labor. No, you're not, because God gives you the ability to gain wealth. And listen, if you don't do it God's way, then you will toil and you will toil and you will toil and you will toil and you'll never get ahead. But if you do things the way God asked us to do them, guess what? He'll bless you. He will multiply the seed that you sow. He'll give more unto you. He'll open up the windows of heaven for you. But I don't understand. It's a thing of faith. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this part of the Word of God is true because it operates in my life. Every single day. It operates in this church. That's why we're able to do what we do on so. Well, so yes, praise the Lord. So let's go to the next slide. Now he who supplies seed to the sower. Who gives you the seed? God does. And bread for food. Who provides for you? God does. And if you've taken on the lie that you're the provider for your family, repent. Because your family is not living at the standard God wants it to then. You may be the person who brings in the major amount of seed and bread through your paycheck, but don't you know God gives you the ability to get wealth, and he has a way to multiply. Now he, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest of righteousness. I need the harvest that I am bringing in the church, in the ministry, in our life, and in our company to increase. Why? Because there's a lot to do. We are blessed to be a what? We're blessed to be a blessing, not to squander it on ourselves. We're blessed to be a blessing. So we can hand out when somebody's in need, we can give. When somebody's hungry, we can feed them. When somebody can't make their mortgage payment, we can make it for them. That's why we need to be blessed, because the truth is very plain and simple. You cannot give what you do not have. So if I want to be a generous giver, I have to learn the principles of God. He gives me seed to sow. He gives me bread to eat, and he'll increase that when I just do things in a generous way toward him. Can you give me the next scripture, please? It says this. Now each of you should give what you have decided in your own heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You can't be cheerful about tithing. You can't be cheerful about offerings until you get the revelation that God just wants you to return what he calls his, and that's the first 10%. And somebody says, well, Pastor, me and God, we've got a deal. And I don't tithe, but I give good offerings. And I'm just doing the math in my head, and I think you're foolish. You fool? You're a fool because you don't believe what God said. Listen, the tithe was before the law. It was Abraham was before the law, wasn't he? And Abraham tithe. The tithe was after the law, because we see it that it's given to Melchizedek through the church. Now, come on now, there's one more. And the tithe is in the law, because it clearly describes how the blessings of God flows through the tithe. Now, I don't want to put you under condemnation about this. If you don't have the faith to tithe, don't tithe. But you need the faith to tithe so you could be the blesser that God wants you to be. So somebody says, oh, I give offerings, but I don't tithe. No, you don't. If somebody came to me and said, Pastor, I need to borrow $300. I give them $300 out of my personal account. And then they come back 2 years later. And I said, Pastor, you're just such a good pastor. Here, I want to bless you. Here's a $20 gift card to Chili's. Well, this isn't a gift. If I count this as against your debt, you still owe me $280. Well, you can just take this card and fold it five. No, you can take it. Yeah, praise. Thank you. You can't give a gift when you owe the person. You have to fulfill what you owe before you give the gift. Does that make sense? The first 10% belongs to God, so that 90% of your income could be blessed. Then he gives you the ability to give generously. Why? So that you can increase. You have some manner of control over your own life. You can sow seeds toward a new house. You can sow seeds toward getting debt free. You can sow seeds toward a new car. You can sow seeds. How do you do that? By buying somebody else maybe a car they don't have. It's rusty, but hey, it's a car. It's mine. I'm going to sow it to them. I'm going to get it as nice as I can. I'm going to give it to them. You sow a seed for a new car. But you can't do that. You can't tap into the blessing of God if you don't follow God's ways of doing things. And he wants you to live on, he wants you to live not on 90%. He wants you to live on a blessed 90%. Oh, praise the Lord. The tithe is in the Word of God. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. It's even before the written Word. So, is it still a truth? Yes. And it's up to you whether you receive it. Now, you can come and be a part of the church. That's all right. You could fellowship with us. But you're not going to become a member of this church if you're not a tither. Why? Because it's in the Bible. And it's fundamentally where you're, I can feel it. This is where the rubber of your life meets the road of life. Oh, I just don't want to go to that church because they always talk about money. No, we're always talking about blessing. This money is just a tool. And currency is just a way that we determine its value or its usefulness. If you begin to think that way, you won't be so, you know, selfish. God's a giver and we're to be like God. So just take that if you can't do. You know, how much you want to give to God? I truthfully want to be able to live on 10% and give God 90%. That's my goal. I think that's his goal too. I want to be able to live on 10% and give God 90%. Why? Because I know what's going to happen. The windows of heaven are just going to, the walls of heaven are just going to blow open. Can you say amen? Everybody say the blessing of the Lord. I want the blessing of the Lord, don't you? I don't want to drift from him. Come on. I don't want to wake up one day. See, nobody that backslides, they say, you know what, I'm just going to leave that church and I am just going to be an ordinary old cuss. I'm going to be everything my mom prayed I wouldn't be. Nobody does that. What happens is you wake up one day and you don't read the Word. And then a few days later, maybe a week later, you stop praying like you were. And then, you know what, you stop going to church. And then you certainly aren't tithing, you certainly aren't giving because, you know, you fell into this thing because you said, I want to be a checkbook for the Lord. And you worked way too much instead of believing God. And then you wake up one day and you find yourself, you know, three sheets to the wind in a place you shouldn't be doing things you shouldn't do. How'd that happen? You quit reading the Word. How'd that happen? You quit praying. How'd that happen? You quit getting around the flesh of Jesus, the church. He started spending the tithe and giving your offerings to yourself. Here's your promise, guys. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil. And one translation says, the blessing of the Lord adds wealth without headaches. Amen. That's the way that God wants to prosper you. The blessing of the Lord makes you strong. The blessing of the Lord makes you wise. The blessing of the Lord opens up doors for you. The blessing of the Lord makes way and more gifts come. The blessing of the Lord increases you in spirit, soul, and body. I want to be tied into, anchored into the blessing of the Lord, don't you? Amen. Pastor Josh, would you come up? Would you guys stand to your feet, give the Lord a hand clap of praise?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you would, just bow your heads this morning. I believe the Lord has spoken to us this morning about staying connected to Him. And He's instructed us on how to do that. But if you're here this morning, every eye closed, and you've never been connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've never made that decision where, you know what, I need to know you, God. My relationship with you is non-existent. I've never made that commitment to you. If you've never made the Lord Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior, we want to pray with you this morning. We want to show you the way to have that relationship and begin a brand new relationship with Him. And if that's you this morning, I want you to just lift your hand so we know who we're praying with. Or if you need to recommit your life, you say, I used to go to church, but I've slid away from that relationship. I used to know the Lord. I used to read and pray, but I've slipped out of that place. Yes, we see those hands. As a family of the Church of God, let's just place our hands on our hearts. We're all going to pray this. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent. I repent of my sin. Places where I've missed it. Where I didn't read. Where I didn't pray, where I didn't go to church, where I didn't honor you. Lord, you know where I've missed it. I come back to you today. Renew the joy of your salvation inside of me. I commit my life to you. I surrender all that I am to you. You are my God. And my Savior, fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. We're going to speak a blessing over you.
Amen. Now, before we do that, make sure that those of you who signed up for membership class to meet us right after service in the overflow room. And, you know, if there's a few of you that haven't, just check with Miss Pat. And if you'd like to be in part of that class, that'd be fine too. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll be offering another one soon. So we're going to speak the blessing of the Lord this week over your life. Would you just lift your hands, please? Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that this is a blessed people. That when they reach in their pocket, there's more than enough. Father, when they go to the bank, that there's more than they thought. That, Father, the return on their investments increase in a daily fashion. And that they have more strength in their body than those around them. That there's a vibrance that comes out of their spirit and causes them to almost glow in the presence of others. Father, it calls your glory to rest on them. Calls the peace that passes all understanding to dwell, to be among and in and on them. Calls them to be a joyful people, Lord. To be peacemakers, kingdom bringers, and gospel preachers. In the precious name of Jesus, if you receive that, say amen and amen. Turn to somebody and say, you are blessed. And we'll see you Wednesday night. You guys are dismissed.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.